We are. Thank you very much, James. Having a family at work day. Actually, can I just get them all to say Merry Christmas? There they are in the background. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yes. All our mums and various relatives have turned up today because why not? We can do what we like. We're leaving on Friday, so what can they do? We are having a jolly festive day with Stella Duffy and Kate Moss, who's apparently still stuck in traffic in Putney. If you see her, well, yeah, throw her this way, please.
DAB Digital Radio. London's LBC 97.3.
It's 12 o'clock. I'm Claire Miller. Sir Elton John is a married man after tying the knot with long-term partner David Furnish at Windsor's Guildhall. They exchanged vows in a private, low-key civil partnership ceremony. They're one of the first gay couples to do so in England. Hundreds of fans and photographers turned up to catch a glimpse of the couple. Our showbiz editor, Joe Parkinson, is outside the Guildhall and watched as they emerged.
Both of them look impeccably smart. Elton John's blowing kisses to everybody. He looks like a really happy man, as does David. There was people throwing confetti behind them. Everyone's cheering, as you can probably hear in the background, and it's fantastic. But there's no bad atmosphere down here. Everyone's got their mobile phones up trying to take pictures.
After the low-key ceremony, there's a big star-studded celebration tonight at Elton's Berkshire Mansion. We're told the table decorations are his and his action men, while vats of pink champagne have been ordered in. In other news, an 8-year-old girl from Luton is among those seriously hurt after a train crash in Italy. Gabriella Villillo was thrown through a window when two passenger trains collided south of Rome yesterday. She suffered a fractured skull. Her parents are also injured. The government has been told it will have to investigate the death of an Iraqi civilian alleged to have been tortured and unlawfully killed by British troops. Ministers were appealing against an earlier ruling, having argued the Human Rights Act didn't apply abroad. Lawyer Phil Shiner says judges decided an inquiry into Baha Moussa's death in custody in 2003 wasn't independent or effective.
The government, who so far have acted shamefully, what they should do is what Lord Goldsmith is calling for, which is an independent investigation into how the military have conducted themselves in these investigations.
Police say a 17-year-old arrested following the discovery of homemade bombs is being treated as an over-enthusiastic chemistry student. The bomb squad carried out 4 controlled explosions at a house in Lancashire overnight. A daredevil climber known as the French Spider-Man has been arrested for climbing another tower in Paris. Alain Robert took just 20 minutes to scale the 100-metre-high Dexia building. He's climbed more than 70 buildings around the world, including the Eiffel Tower and New York's Empire State Building. In sport, Pakistan are chasing 207 to win the final one-day international against England and Rawalpindi. After 2 early wickets, England's bowlers have struggled to unsettle Yasir Hamid and Mohammad Yusuf. A few moments ago, the hosts were 83 for 2. They need 124 from 27 overs. And Rod Stewart broke down in tears on stage at Earls Court last night at the end of his UK tour. He dedicated a Nightingale song in Berkeley Square to his fiancée Penny Lancaster. And just a few words into the song, Rod began crying, saying it reminded him of the moment he first met her. London's weather staying cloudy but dry for most of the afternoon. Bit of light rain or drizzle around this evening, though. Top temperatures of 9. And right now we have got 9 Celsius at Charing Cross. London's weather with Well Woman Advanced Nutrition Capsules from Vitabiotics, available from chemists and health stores, or visit wellwoman.com. It's 3 minutes past 12.
London's LBC 97.3.
And now, live from beautiful downtown Bramley Road, in the very shadow of the Wine City Estate, it's Sandy Toksvig.
And on today's show, as the countdown continues to Friday, Stella and Kate, thoughtful gifts, dead of the year, inspiration, and tube mice. Take it away, girls.
Semmel and Sandy, Beamer's omnes. We've all been utterly balmy once. We've had the jolliest japes and been in several scrapes. And just for a lark, we meet in the park to pelt each other with grapes. So sing it in Latin if you're clever, or sing it in English if you are a dunce. Semmelins and Beamer's omnes. Yes, we've all been balmy once.
Oh, we've I've started talking already. Hello, my lovely people. That can't be right.
I don't think.
It is. It's an interesting day today because lots of people are here who are, you know, not normally supposed to be here, and one person who is supposed to be here isn't here at all.
Splendid.
Ah, it's all worked out marvellously. Why, it recalls the time an elderly gentleman turned up with a violin and we didn't know who he was or why he was here.
And who was he and why was he here?
Well, we still don't know to this day. We
Andre
asked him
Preview.
He sat there with his violin and I said, well, give us a tune then.
Yeah.
He was terrible. Anyway, the lovely Stella Duffy is here and the lovely Kate Moss, not the one...
It's on her way. On her way.
Yeah, not from the Priory.
No, this is OSSE.
Yeah, this is the one who can write her name.
in anything other than a white powder.
Exactly. Now then, today is St Thomas's Day and yay!
Sure.
Apparently, in England, there was a tradition of Thomasing.
What, go around sticking your fingers in people's newly made nail holes?
I have no idea. Now, here's the thing. I could have looked it up for you, but I just think that's just laziness
on
your part.
You can't be bothered.
No. I think it's laziness on your part. So what we're going to do today is the first person who gives me the best definition of what Thomasing might entail, and bear in mind we wish to keep the licence until Friday.
Being as doubtful as possible, one assumes.
Do send them in to us, Sandy with an I at lbc.co.uk, or today, the lovely Lucy is on the gate. You can give her a call, 0870 909 0973. What traditionally was Thomasing on St Thomas's Day, and we shall send you a cash.
Hurrah.
Of lovely gifts.
Now, cash of gifts. It's not cash, is it?
No, no.
It's not cash prize.
C-A-C-H-E.
Oh, all right.
Of lovely gifts.
Go on, then.
Now, I have been sent some astonishing presents and some wonderful emails, and I have to thank you all for the tremendous kindness. This is astonishing. It's not a secret, I think, that The Sound of Music is my favourite film.
Yay!
And
yay!
I have been sent a T-shirt with...
With a spinning Julie on
the front. With Julie on the front, but it's my face.
That is so fantastic.
It's my face
that
on the picture.
That is so fantastic. It's the bit up the top that's filmed by the helicopter.
Yeah.
Spinning Sandy Julie.
And it's been sent to me by a company called Ocean Shade Limited, the promotions people. And on the back it says Sandy with an I. And
that's fantastic.
It's from Pamela, Nikki, Ruth and Victoria. Thank you so much. And on a similar theme, Brian Jensen has sent me Racing Nuns. Now, this is a game apparently produced by Holy Smoke, which I'm very keen on. I already have... At home, a very vicious wind-up nun who spits fire and is called Attila the Nun.
She was called Sister Constance at my school.
Thank you. But this is apparently, these are racing sisters.
Cool.
There are other games that you can play, like Bash the Bishop, but we, again...
Wrestling Rabbis?
...want to keep that licence, and so we're not going to play that particular game. So now what we're going to do, I'm taking out these nuns. They're two little 2-inch-high figures. Yay. And what you do is you wind them up and off they race.
Oh, that's so cool.
So we're going to have a little go at racing nuns while you listen to this.
Are you actually a sat-nav system?
Sorry?
Am I talking to a sat-nav system? Because you sound like the woman who tells you where to go. In a nice way.
I have told people where to go, yes.
I'm sure you have, yes.
But I won't tell you where.
Take the next left.
You've missed your turning.
You've missed your...
Find the nearest...
I think I am talking to a sat-nav system. That's weird.
Bloody woman.
Yeah, I know.
Switch radio on at 8 p.m. Tuned to 97.3. You've reached your destination, Clyde Bull, London, LBC 97.3.
I'm back!
You've been gone ages. It's past 10 o'clock.
Sorry.
Did you get the stuffing?
I knew there was something else.
The tinsel?
Ah, two things.
The present for my mum. Please say you got the present for my mum.
Oh, no.
Well, what did you get?
I treated myself to these gorgeous shoes. Oh, and this matching bag. And I got a top. Look, and these...
Feed your addiction at Brent Cross. Over 100 great stores. And now open weekdays till 10 until the 23rd of December. Store times may vary. See brentcross.co.uk for details.
Sandy Talks Me.
Okay, Ivana and Nadia, now, we've got this new game. Marion, who won the hamper yesterday, and I said she had to come and collect it as long as she wasn't mad and dribbling, has turned up not mad and not dribbling, so that's all worked out
very
well.
Wearing a lovely, lovely fluffy coat as well.
Yeah. Mm. And she's brought her kids. Now, guys, here's what they do. OK, these are racing nuns. And what we've worked out is you've just got to pull them back once in a smooth movement and then let them go and see who wins, OK? So you have the nun on the right there, Iman. And now you have the one on the left. And
come now
just
here,
pull it back in a smooth movement.
Yeah, push
I think
it
down. Kind of push down.
Yeah, that's it.
Push down a little bit as you do
that's
it.
That's what they always say, Sandy.
Sorry, settle. Back more. Ready, and they're off. Woo! Oh! That's a satisfying
game,
that
is. That was close to a tie, though, wasn't it?
What do you think?
Is that nuns on the run, is it?
Ah, you see? Yes, there we go. So, now, are you guys off school yet?
Yes. Gone off on Friday.
Off on Friday? My kids are...
Tuesday?
Well, that's not fair, is it?
No, that's this Tuesday. That's a bit mean. My kids don't finish till today, so that's a very long time.
Why didn't you pull them out of school for this? Surely this is more educational, honestly. What a rotten mother.
How did you manage to get any thought that this might be remotely educational? What on earth gave you that idea?
These children have learnt all about kinetic and latent energy just with that. Obviously.
So what are you guys doing for the holidays? Are you going away? Are you staying home?
No, we're actually working on the house.
Oh, wow. Yeah. What are you doing to the house?
We've built an office building at the back, so rough hands, laying slate and painting and making a desk.
It's... Enjoying it, or is it just...
Oh, it's fantastic, yeah.
Good.
We do it all ourselves, so it's fantastic.
Very good.
I have to say, for anybody who hasn't got a digital radio, Marion's got the best hair I think I've ever seen. It's pre-Raphaelite, isn't it?
It's kind of going into the fluffy coat, quite beautifully.
Yeah.
Very attractive.
Yes, you go straight from your head into the coat, which is very good. Yeah. And you guys, what are you going to be doing? You're just going to be relaxing over the holidays, or are you helping out as well in the house?
Helping out.
Yeah?
Is there rough hands here as well? Oh, yeah. Definitely workman's hands here. Bit St. Thomas-y.
Well, I tell you what, it's lovely of you to come in, and I hope you enjoy the hamper. I hope it's a terrific thing. And I expect that the lovely Lucy will find a little gift for you too as you go out as well, find a little present for you. Okay. And have a really happy holiday. Enjoy yourselves.
Sandy, could you just say hi to my husband, PJ?
No. Hey, PJ.
He's a fan as well.
Husband named after lemon juice. And is he at home working on the house?
No, he's actually at work.
What does he do?
He's a policeman.
Yeah. Oh, we love that. PCPJ.
Yes, it is PCPJ.
How fantastic is that? And the lovely Kate Moss has turned up, I tell you.
Oh, sorry, I was Putney High Street.
There's going to be a health and safety issue in a minute, I think. It was lovely to see you. Thank you so much for coming in, and I hope you enjoy the hamper.
Thank you very much.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's got the most gorgeous food in it. You're just going to really, really enjoy it from our good friends at the Rosslyn Deli.
Splendid.
Okay, guys, thank you. And well done on the racing nuns. I thought you did very well there, which was sent in as a gift.
Very, very nice.
Now then, the lovely Kate Moss has turned up. Oh, what a Christmas card! Oh, we love this. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Lovely to see you. Thank you for coming in. Thank you very much. This is very nice.
Bye.
It's good to know that the listener's got the requisite number of two eyes. And do you know what I mean?
It's important.
Now, this is really lovely, and I was thinking about the thing about the thoughtful gift. And the thoughtful gift for me is where people have really thought about what you want, like this lovely Sound of Music.
Like the racing
T-shirt, like the racing nuns that I've been sent.
Fantastic.
Isn't that wonderful? My
that
T-shirt.
That is brilliant.
Yeah, with me on the front.
And it is almost your penny.
Morphed into Julie, yes. It is almost my penny. So anything where people take the time have some kind of energy about it. And I have had a lovely letter from Lancashire, a man called Dr. Neil Johnson, who runs a medical publishing company, who has written a children's book, which is just lovely, called Magic in Valdivar. And he says it's not a commercially viable venture and so on. But it is at least...
book writing is, obviously.
Well, no book writing is. It is at least, he says, the fruit of honest endeavour. And I have been cheered and uplifted by the enthusiasm of the young illustrator and the talented composer with whom I have worked. It is, in all these respects, the most prized possession that I have to give you.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's really... And I have to say, it's a beautiful book. And I suspect you will be able to find it on Amazon. It is called Magic in Valdivar. But if not, there's a website called kingandwizard.com. And it's a really beautifully produced book.
A very nice man has written to Dear Ms. Toxvig, which is terribly polite.
Which is immensely polite.
And not excessively, you know, familiar.
Unlike this letter, which is...
I think Lady Toxvig would be better, actually.
Dame Sandy.
There is nothing like it. No, we won't sing that.
Well, Dane, which is only one letter away.
Exactly.
Mm.
Almost a pun.
Okay, this one has not done so well as a letter to me. It's from a fundraising manager for a charity. Miss Sandy Toxwick.
Give us some money.
LBC Radio Limited, the Chrysalis Building, Bramley Road, London W10 6SP. So far, it's going well.
Yes, well done. Yeah. You're very rich. Give us your cash.
No. What? Dear Mr. Ferrari.
Oops, that's merge mail. Mail merge for you.
I would be honoured if you could be our guest speaker.
Yes. Oh, how dramatic is that?
Very quickly, shall we open the advent calendar, Steve Campaign?
Yay.
We have an audio advent calendar. You have to have a listen as we open the door. Tell us who the guest is that once appeared on the programme. As soon as you know, call us 0870 9090 973 and you will win today's prize.
Actually, not long, very long before he did die, he said to me, he had a tremendous sense of humour. He said, I've worked it out. He said, well, I've worked it out. I've got enough money to live in comfort for the rest of my life as long as I die next Thursday.
Oh, really?
OK, can't remember myself, so... It was a general bewilderment in the studio, but as we're not playing, it's fine. We're not part of that, so it's not going to be a worry to us. We must go to the travel, and we're going to come back, I hope, with your thoughts on Thomasing. But first, it's the lovely Joanne Webb.
Thank you very much. Let's start off on the M25. Clockwise between junction 29 and 30. That's the A127 to the A30. Only one lane was open earlier, but I'm pleased to say it's all now reopened. I'm afraid it's still very slow. Actually, very slow anti-clockwise as well. In Bermondsey, there are northbound delays on Tower Bridge Road due to the roadworks in at Abbey Street. Still quite slow around the Aldgate one-way system as there's some roadworks in on the A10 Gracechurch Street at Cornhill, so that's where the queues go all the way back to. And those traffic lights are still not working on the A40 at Gypsy Corner, and that's causing delays on the A40 itself both ways. If you're heading out onto the tubes, I'm afraid the Bakerloo line is still suspended between Wilson Junction, Harrow and Wilson. That's all due to an incident. Delays as well on the Bakerloo, the Circle, the Hammersmith and City and the Piccadilly lines. Your next update in 30 minutes, LBC 97.3 Travel with Confused.com. When it comes to car insurance, we'll do the legwork for you.
Have you been injured while driving, walking, working, shopping, or even playing? If you weren't to blame, you could be entitled to compensation. But don't trust your case to expensive, non-qualified claims handlers. BGR Bloomer offers a totally free service to all their clients. They fight to get maximum compensation for you, and it won't ever cost you a penny. Call BGR Bloomer for free, anytime, on 08000 50 10 55. Call now, 08000 50 10 55.
Sandy Toxvig.
Excuse me.
I'm so sorry. Sorry, live announcement.
Quiet, please. Today, Sand is joined by Stella and Kate. I have to do that again now, won't I?
I'll stand away from it.
I've got to do it again. Shut up.
I've got a biro and I'm not afraid to use it.
Today, Sand is joined by Stella and Kate.
Darling Love on the Phil Spector Christmas album. What do you think the chances of me going from here to some show where I introduce records? I'm thinking nil. Absolutely nil. Now, we're looking for your suggestions as to what might have happened today, traditionally on St. Thomas's Day. It is, according to the website that I looked up, the tradition is carried on of Thomasing.
Sounds so
too many
rude.
Jokes.
It sounds so rude.
So we're looking for something polite, if we may have, please, that you know I can read out. But tell us what you think, because I think it'll be more interesting than looking it up. Now then, I've had a gift from Tim's parents.
Yay.
And I've done in their garden some quite surprising things in my time, I have to say. And it says, be aware, it may be naff, but it is fragile.
We all feel just like that, I feel. Naff and fragile.
Naff, but I'm fragile.
Yes, absolutely.
We were talking, Kate, about the thoughtful present, where you've really tried to put it to the theme of somebody or their character or whatever, or you've taken some time over it. I mean, isn't that the best thing? I've got a friend of mine and she knows that I'm having terrible trouble kind of getting any kind of fitness done. And all she did was she made a card for me that said fitness friends, and she's guaranteed to be available anytime I want to go for a walk or go for a bicycle ride.
Oh, that's lovely.
That's nice.
That's a good thing to do.
Cheapskate. Anyway.
I'll go ice skating with you.
I won't.
Oh, we're loving this. It is a...
It's a reindeer egg cup.
It's a reindeer egg cup.
That's so cool.
Blooming big egg.
Reindeers don't lay eggs. Don't be silly, Timothy. He's driven me mad, you know. 3 years, he's driven me insane. Where'd you get such a thing? And
what, Timothy?
And why? I love it. I love it a lot. Actually, my lovely neighbour, Roger, his son is a manager of a Woolworths shop. Mm. And they get all these things in for the window displays, but they have to be health and safety tested. And at this time of year, he hasn't got time to health and safety test
them. So he gives them to you to set fire?
So, no, my neighbour brings them home. And we've currently got copulating reindeer on the front lawn. With surprising movements, I just say.
That one must be Rudolph, though, as well, because it's got a red nose.
It's not any old reindeer. It's leading reindeer egg cup.
Special.
How lovely. And in the new year, I shall actually have time for breakfast. which will be a new way forward for me. Kate, when your kids say, you know, what do you want, Mum, for Christmas? I always say to my kids something that you took some time over or something. You know, I don't even mind if it's a really tatty, appalling piece of cross-stitch from one of them. Whatever it is that they thought it through and then they took some time over it.
Yeah, well, I'm bad because I always say I don't need anything at all, darling. I'd rather we bought a new family game or something like that. And, of course, the truth is they want to buy something and want to have us unwrapping stuff under the trees. So, actually, I get all sorts of little bits and bobs and sort of secrete them about, you know, present drawers all over the house from August so that when they have not bought anything on Christmas Eve, being thespianly type children who are in shoe, they can then get things out and wrap them up. And that means that everybody has little gifts to share.
I'll see whether that's a good way to do it.
My mum and dad kept the cotton reel scented twig that I made for them when I was three at Woolwich Common Nursery School, and it's now sitting on my mantelpiece because they kept it that long in their Christmas box.
But I mean, I've got loads of bits and pieces from the kids.
Cross stitch is absolutely right there, because everybody goes through, girl or boy, they go through a phase of embroidery, it seems to be. So we still have a lovely fairy that goes on top of the tree that Martha made about 5 years ago. You know, it's bald, one eye, and, you know, can't hear, and it's, you know, a bit droopy.
And Martha was 25 when she did
Absolutely. She's very talented.
We have, top of our tree, we have a large frog dressed as an angel.
A large frog
dressed as it. Now then, it was Giles' parents, wasn't it? It was Giles' parents, wasn't it? Yes.
Are there chocolates?
No. This is fun, okay?
Oh,
don't do this at home, or, as I'm planning to do, under a fire alarm.
In a studio.
Okay, in a studio. Now, this could go horribly wrong. Do you need a plate? Oh.
Why is it going to blow up? Is it not a biscuit?
Can you not do it in a cup?
No, we need a plate. And can I see a fire extinguisher? Yes, there's one behind your mum. We'll shove your mum out of the way if there's a fire. It'll be all right. But we need a plate to do it. Here's the thing. Amaretti biscuits, you get them in Italian restaurants. They come with this extraordinary paper.
Amaretti paper biscuit.
The paper that does that magic thing.
It's magic.
Absolutely.
And what you do is you roll it into a sort of an open cigar shape.
Or indeed an uncrackered cracker.
An uncrackered cracker.
Yes.
And you then place it on a plate.
Right.
And you then set fire to the top of it. Well, I can't do that at the moment because we're still waiting for the plate. It's magic. It's absolutely magic. The biscuits, don't bother with.
Wait,
is that fair?
They are hard on the teeth.
You have to drip it in your very sweet espresso.
Or very sweet wine. Nice little pudding wine.
Neither of which do I see, just a reindeer.
Isn't it crappy?
But, you see, thoughtful gift.
Thoughtful gift because it makes me laugh.
I can set fire to the studio just shortly before I leave. Now, I have to say that we have had lots and lots of too many emails to read out, and people saying ridiculously kind things. Absurd.
Shall I read them some so you don't get embarrassed? Sandy's so wonderful.
Some of it's so marvellous. Some of it is stupid, frankly. but this one rather took the biscuit. In fact, I may send them a couple of the amaretto biscuits just to show it took the biscuit. Hey, Sandy.
Uh-huh.
Already
very
probably
familiar.
Not somebody
I
that
feel
I...
feel that was our cue to go yee-haw, but we missed it, Stella.
Christian here, and I've got some good news. Now, I thought it must be a Christian.
Yes,
with the good news.
Capital G, capital N.
Well, it is all in capitals. Yes, exactly.
Indeed.
It was all in capitals, good news, I thought so. Next month, I'm holding a live 2-day seminar.
On?
And guess what?
Yes.
These are all separate sentences. You're invited. Well, I know. I thought, I'll bet I'll be stuck for something to do. Not only is it going to be a great experience, well, that's how thrilling is that, but this programme is going to take your love life to the next level.
Oh, hello.
No matter where you are with a man, from casual dating to a long-term committed relationship...
Or just not very
long-term
all.
Committed.
Yeah. I rather stopped reading at that point.
No, I need to hear more. I think it's
very
exciting.
Christian doesn't know me as well as perhaps he ought.
You're probably lucky.
Anyway, he's...
What's he going to do for you with this long-term relationship?
I don't know. It's a programme called Catch Him and Keep Him.
Oh, dear. In a box?
Didn't Leonardo DiCaprio star in that?
Yeah. And apparently he's been refining lots of ideas. They're all based on women's experiences and what actually works in the real world.
What does he know? He's a bloke called Christian.
Yeah. I don't know, but what does he know? You said it to me, so I really...
Has he sent a picture of himself?
No. Christian Carter.
He's probably not the man he wants catching and keeping, is he?
Yeah. Yeah, if anybody goes, by the way, it goes me, because I shan't be tending. check it out, catchhimandkeephim.com.
Lots and lots of Sandy Toxvigs turning up.
Yeah, lots and lots of very, very short people turning up to have a word. Now, also, before I leave, we've got various questions from different people that they want answered, as well as quick plugs. Apparently, there is a large-scale amateur pantomime at Brent Town Hall in Wembley with Babes in the Woods. Lots of thigh slapping. Surely that's illegal with Babes in the Wood, isn't it? I would have thought. I've got a question here about grammar, OK? And this has been exorcising somebody greatly.
Exorcising.
It's the use of the incorrect use of the singular with the plural. It's from Kathy in Charlton.
It worries me daily, I tell you.
So, for example, the government are going to pull out of Iraq. Well, now, can I just say, if you just tuned in, that's just a sentence I'm using for grammatic effect.
Yes. You heard it here first on LBC, Sandy Talks for Joe.
I wouldn't want anybody...
Look, he's on the telly.
Ah, Tony Blair.
Yeah.
He's battling.
He's not saying that, though, is he?
No, he's not. He's saying he's battling.
Yeah, but she is right. It should be is.
So the English cricket are leading.
Well, that's just
a bad sentence. Yes, the government are going rubbish. To pull out of it. The BBC are proud to announce.
It should be is. I'm afraid it's a singular.
Because the BBC's
now.
One thing.
Sorry to be a pedant, but I am actually a pedant, so that's fine.
Anyway, Kathy in Charlton says that her 6 and 3-year-old boys both cried yesterday when I told them you were leaving, and that's presumably because Kathy will now focus on them during lunch.
They will be eating those sprouts every day.
That's always a very, very bad thing.
Very good for you.
I like sprouts.
What?
I really do like sprouts. Very good for you.
You're awfully English.
And ever so anti-carcinogenic. Tell you, make them with a nice chunks of bacon. Good bit of
I'm a vegetarian as well as being English.
Chunks of bacon then.
No bacon.
No.
Sprouts are good. They're good.
Every now and then, the good Lord wandered into the vegetable garden and made an error. And that's the Brussels sprout.
But you're only little. They're little cabbages, really, Sandy.
Here are some jokes about Eskimos.
Excellent.
Also from Christian, but they're different Christian, different one entirely. We were doing Inuit poetry yesterday.
Oh, good Lord.
And why not?
This time of year.
Poor Eskimo boy, it took him 6 months to sing Night and Day.
That's very good.
I like that.
I think that's very funny. Eskimo mother, now remember, children, I want you to play this side of the North Pole. That's quite funny.
Not as funny as the first one.
You like that one?
Yeah. We like the first one.
I like Christmas jokes. I don't know about this one. This may be in bad taste, but hey. Mark from Hatfield Heath. A charity pantomime in aid of paranoid schizophrenics descended into chaos yesterday when someone shouted, "He's behind you!" I think that's very funny.
I think that's all right.
Yeah,
yeah, that's okay. Yes. That
now, we've had lots of requests. We want requests for I'm a Mormon, which I think we have played at some point. Oh, it's a wonderful song, I'm a Mormon. Do you not know the Mormon theme tune?
Yes, that is very good.
My absolute favourite, which I keep plugging away for, which is the theme tune for the Dry Cleaning Institute of America. Mm. And somebody would like Utterly Balmy, which is our own theme tune. And I think you can find that already up on our website if you want to. Is that right, darling? If you want to... download it, and please could we have some more yodeling? The
I say that often, actually. Yeah.
What my life needs is more yodeling.
I just see it's my comedy Achilles heel, yodeling.
You don't like it, or you do?
I just can't not laugh.
Oh, right.
No, they don't actually have to make any noise.
No.
That's the thing, they just need to go... like that.
Yeah.
And then you're off.
And there's nearly a yodelay hee-ho and it just
absolutely. And a quick question. How can there be an amnesty on phones? They're not illegal. That's a good question.
Amnesty on phones?
Surely.
We'll have a think.
OK. Now, Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without a good argument. So fortify yourself with The Spectator. Soften them up with a blast of Paul Johnson and Rod Little. Backed up by the heavy guns, Peter Oborne and Mark Steyn. Or charm them with Tina Brown on Hillary Clinton. Or Deborah Ross on The Queen's Midwife. And if all else fails, you can always mollify them with the cartoons. The Spectator double issue. It's out now. You can argue with the opinions. You can't argue with the writing.
London's LBC 97.3. Sandy Toksvig.
So, Giles' dad, Tim, was just asking whether the staff is or are unhappy, and the staff is unhappy. Because it becomes
it's
a collective.
Singular noun. Yeah, it's a collective singular noun.
A collective singular noun. See, we're sorted all out.
Sounds wrong.
And I can tell you that the winner of our advent draw today was Katrina in Maid of Ale, who guessed quite correctly that it was John Simpson. Oh. Coming up, we're going to be having a look at Dead of the Year.
Available on DAB Digital Radio.
London's LBC 97.3.
It's 12:30. I'm Claire Miller. Sir Elton John and its partner David Furnish have become the highest profile gay couple in Britain to get married. They've tied the knot at Windsor's Guildhall. It's one of almost 700 civil partnership ceremonies in England and Wales today. A family from Luton were caught up in yesterday's train crash in Italy. 8-year-old Gabriella Velillo suffered a fractured skull after being thrown through a window. Her parents were also seriously hurt in hospital, but her two brothers were left shaken but uninjured. An attempt to convince Top Gear's Jeremy Clarkson to stop driving cars and start riding bikes has fallen into farce. The Lib Dems tried to deliver a bike to the presenter, but he wasn't there. Instead, they've had to leave a Christmas card asking him to be more environmentally friendly. Sport and more management movements at Millwall. The Championship's bottom club have moved Colin Lee upstairs to director of football and replaced him with his former assistant, David Tuttle. And the race for the Christmas number one is over, according to the bookies. Paddy Power started paying out on all bets for X Factor winner Shane Ward. That's despite the fact his single, That's My Goal, only is being released today and there are still 4 days to go. London's weather, cloudy but dry this afternoon and staying mild as well. Top temperatures of 9 and right now we have got 9 Celsius at Victoria. It's 12:31.
London's LBC 97.3. Clive Bull. We don't employ him for his singing. Clive Bull starts at 8, Monday to Thursday evenings.
London's LBC 97.3.
You'll never get rid of me.
Sandy Toksvig.
Today, Sandy's joined by Stella and Kate.
Brilliant. Mary Schneider.
Ah, Mary Schneider, thought so.
I knew that.
Do you know, when I was a kid growing up in the United States, we used to have quite unsavoury habits, actually. And there was a thing called a wet Louis, which was where you put spittle on your finger and you put it in somebody's ear.
Oh.
And Schneider was doing the same with your thumb up somebody's nose. I've only just remembered that. It's not nice, is it? And my brother and I used to be driven up to school, and we used to do this to a geek called Homer. And Homer had spots and glasses, and we used to always do wet Schneiders and Louis on him and everything. And years later, we went back to the school for some function, and this guy came over who built, like, an American football player. Huge, vast, very good-looking, very square jaw. And he went, "Hi, I'm Homer." And we both went, "Homer!
Hi!"
So no hard feelings. Anyway, good to see you grew up. OK. We're going to give this a go. It may not go all that well. We'll have to see. But Tim's mum's got the fire extinguisher. So, I very much like Amaretti biscuits, and I like the ones that come in the traditional paper.
Proper paper. Yes.
Proper paper. You don't see them very often. In fact, I was appalled the other day to be offered one in plastic. I set fire.
Did you throw it back in their face?
I set fire.
The nun's watching. It's going to be okay.
Okay. So, Stella, just move your microphone because that costs several thousand pounds. Now, what you do? My mother's having a heart attack. What we do?
Did she do this a lot when she was young? Yeah. No.
We set fire.
Oh, look at the green flame.
Gorgeous, quite substantial.
Red, blue, purple.
Yes. Quite, it's rather
a
lovely.
A rainbow flame,
and
that's amazing.
Down. It's going, scooting down the paper now.
Prettily.
And here is, just any moment now, is the magic part.
We hope.
Because
it's going to suddenly go up.
And it's going, and off it goes.
Yay!
Oh, sugar.
Yay! That was
fantastically flew up and into the smoke alarm.
Yay!
Flying to the smoke.
It looks like that bit in
the
Wizard of Oz.
I put some water on it. Tim's having just a tiny little panic there.
So perfect.
Oh, it doesn't look so good now.
Oh, come on, people.
That was very good. Wicked Witch of the East.
Is it impressive enough for me to read one of the We Love You Sandy poems?
Yeah,
I think so.
We've divided them out now.
This one's from Sharon. It says, one day in my car I lost Radio 4 when suddenly Sandy knocked on my door. Metaphorically speaking, you understand, her radio show. I thought it quite grand. I'm going to read it all because you'll love the ending. Everyone's listened. It needs an apostrophe, but I'll skate over that. Everyone's listened for almost 3 years except me. Only 3 months. I'm nearly in tears. Why didn't I tune in? I'll never know. Long before Sandy was ready to go. A poem, something written, a fitting homage. But I'm afraid this one has too much fromage. Your sparkling wit just brightens the day. The best thing on radio, I constantly say. And you inspire us to much greater things. Honestly, I'm trying, but I live in Ealing. Good luck to you, Sandy. I wish you the best for whatever you do in your future quest. A heartfelt thank you. I think I may cry. So long, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, goodbye.
Bye.
Sharon.
And I have one which is very classy. The subject line is minimal poetry, and it's from Richard Connor. And he said, dear Sandy, here are some goodbye verses. No more a haiku melts like a snowflake in spring. To Sandy, farewell. Now she leaves the stage, a sound of one hand clapping. The rest is silence.
Oh,
very classy.
As well.
Shakespearean.
Very. Good.
Anyway, we've
very
divided
good
out the other one, so yes, we're going to read
no,
those.
No, shall not.
No, we are.
Throughout. No. Larry in Euston, moving on to another area, says that Thomasing is the art of stuffing a turkey whilst under the influence of eggnog. And I.
That's good. That works.
I like that. I trust we are talking about stuffing the
just
turkey.
Just a turkey.
So we want your definitions for what Thomasing used to be. It is St. Thomas Day, and it's apparently the traditional day for Thomasing, but we're not really sure what it is, and I don't care anymore about the facts. Okay? Make it up, and I will broadcast it sufficiently that it will become fact.
Yes,
absolutely.
Right.
I think that's the way forward.
Tradition is just as important as fact.
We every can time for Fox News, yep, and I don't see why I shouldn't be able to do that. Now, I wish to come on to the dead of the year.
Right.
I was just thinking, every year you get to the end of the year and you think about the number of people who have passed on.
Yes.
So my person that I think I'm probably saddest about that I actually knew was Mo Mollem, who died of a combination of the fact that she had brain cancer and then she had a bad fall. I thought she was terrific. And the reason I thought she was terrific was that she said what she thought.
Mm.
There was no mincing around with her.
No.
She was just a good, straightforward, old-fashioned politician who had an opinion and was not afraid to venture it.
Mm-hmm. And actually, she said what everybody's too scared to say when she was in Northern Ireland, which is, stop behaving like little boys in a playground and bloom and talk to each other.
Yeah.
And actually, that's truthfully the only message that needed to be given to any of these people.
Well, I mean, there was a considerable amount of horror when she went and visited a number of the people who were in prison.
Mm.
And she said, yeah, but these guys are the ones with the influence.
Yes.
So what would be the point of not speaking to them? You know, we must go and talk to them. Otherwise, we're not going to get anywhere. And what I loved, of course, is when she did have her cancer and she was wearing a wig, if things got rather tense, she would take it off and put it on the table and sit there, scratching her bald head and make everybody laugh. So I thought, so she would be much missed. For my personal thing as well, Robert Wise, who, of course, directed The Sound of Music.
Aha. Uh-huh. At about 4.5 hours, managed to cut it down to merely 3 hours 23.
She supposed that there is the rest.
Must be somewhere, it mustn't must be. It?
Well, maybe not. It might have.
Lots
sort of
and lots of Julie
pieces.
Getting knocked over by the wind from the helicopter as they skated past her.
Apparently, she had terrible trouble and was in a nasty updraft, as it were.
Bad updraft.
Well, it's that Pinny again.
Yeah.
I've said Pinnies always cause trouble.
They'll always get you.
I'm trying to imagine what the rest of the story could have been. The Von Trapps play Twister. I mean, what were the other elements that we didn't get? Rosa Parks, long-time civil rights activist. She is the woman who defied the segregation laws in Montgomery, Alabama, by refusing to sit in the back of the bus. And she changed American
politics. And also
politics
kept on being political as well. So it wasn't just one you know, thing on her part, but she stayed very vocal for all of her life, which is fantastic.
It's such an interesting story. She just got too tired. And she got on the bus and she sat down in the first seat she came to because she was too tired to do any more.
And it's that's back to the old sort of 70s slogan, the personal is political.
Mm. Yeah.
It's actually not these big pronouncements from on high. It is that normal people thinking, you know what?
Enough.
This is enough. Yeah. It's common sense, which is lacking, it seems to me, for most of politics. And Rosa Parks and Mo Molan both had that in common, that they just had, you know, they just knew how to behave, actually.
Yeah, that was enough. Richard Whiteley. Bless. Who died of pneumonia? Not very old, actually. He wasn't. Very many years. What an extraordinary career, though, to wear ill-fitting jackets and not even actually play the game
and be slightly uncomfortable on screen his thing.
That was his thing.
Great.
That he was actually a bit awkward about the whole thing. No, just extraordinary. Sir John Mills. Who won Best Supporting Actor Oscar for his role as the mute in Ryan's Daughter. And if you've never seen it, check out on TCM, the Turner Classic Movies. It quite often makes an appearance. Mm. One of the all-time greats. Extraordinary. I mean, but he was well into his 90s. He was... He'd been... I was this interesting thing, because he carried on working, a lot of actors do, and I was working with the wonderful Humphrey Littleton at the weekend, who is still working and touring, and he's 84 years old.
But don't you think that keeping going is part of it? I mean, for a lot of people, you know, the whole having to give up work at 60 or 65 actually is one of the beginnings of a demise, because people who enjoy their work end up having nothing to do.
Well, it's also
awful.
Balmy. It's the idea that you wouldn't be interesting if you're older.
Yes.
It seems to me it's exactly the opposite.
Yeah,
that
totally.
We have far too many young people who are not interested at all. You know,
young people.
Young people, blimey.
Honestly.
What about Hunter S. Thompson, the writer who wrote Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas? Yep. Were you fans or not fans?
Not a huge fan of the writing. I'm quite a fan of the idea of the man. I like, you know, bits of pronouncements and coming up with insane things. Writing doesn't quite do it for me. But Harry Thompson.
Yeah.
I think it's a real shame that Harry only got to do the one book, Thing of Darkness, which I thought was really, really good and astonishing for a first, you know, for a first novel.
But also to bear in mind that he produced some of the best comedy.
Yes, and didn't quite get all the credit he should have done for all of that work
in
the way that comedy goes, unfortunately.
For reasons that I won't go into now. I didn't realise that Cyril Fletcher passed away this year. He was, of course, one of the co-presenters of That's Life. I don't think I've ever seen my father laugh so much. Do you remember, Mum, we were watching That's Life and Cyril Fletcher, we used to read out bits of adverts from local newspapers, and he read out from a local newspaper, it said, messenger wanted, must have own bike and messages. And
own messages.
Yeah. My father sobbed with laughter. It's just the ultimate job, really, isn't
pizza
it?
Pizza delivery. Must have own pizza.
Yeah. I mean, just sort of extraordinary.
That's very good.
The lovely Anne Bancroft. Who passed away, married to Mel Brooks, of course, played Mrs. Robinson in The Graduate and won an Oscar for playing Annie Sullivan in The Miracle Worker, which is one of the all-time great weepies.
And one of the best, worst TV interviews, the one with Wogan, where she just wouldn't play along. Years and years back.
Really?
It's fantastic. She wouldn't play along.
Just didn't want to play that game.
Just wasn't playing being interviewed. Marvellous.
Who was it did that recently for Michael Parkinson? It was was it Nicole?
Meg Ryan?
Meg Ryan. Yeah. It was, wasn't it? Meg Ryan, who said she wasn't...
No.
But you say you've got it...
Well, why does she go on? Sorry to be
because
churlish
they're, because
here.
Because their publicists force them on, that's why.
Yeah,
but
I think
don't.
It's quite rude to the audience.
I agree, but
actually.
I also think they're
in
quite...
In a way, you know, if people have come to see them and they sit there being grand, either don't...
Oh, yes, it's terrible, but it does make good telly.
Well, I have to say it's not easy for the interviewer because...
it's horrid.
When we
it?
First started doing this show, we were required to do a 45-minute interview with a celebrity as the second half of the show. And I used to approach it with just deep dread because, on the whole, I had no idea who this person was.
No.
Mostly, I'd never heard of them, they hadn't done anything that made me remotely interested. I have to tell you that 45 minutes, charming as she is, with Nell McAndrew is a very long time.
So, Nell.
It's really
got
a long
two
time.
Two questions for you.
How is it being pretty then, Nell?
Tim's just telling me she's coming in at 1 o'clock. Anyway, and I shan't name him, but we did have one actor on who just went, no.
Oh, I want to know.
No, I'll tell him. No, I can't tell
him. I interviewed someone, you know, writers, obviously, being my interviewee lot usually, who was really very much the worse for wear, indeed. Ah. And that was a very long... Mm. It was only about half an hour, but... Boy, it felt like a long time, because actually he was not capable of hearing the words. So every time I would say something, so, and I won't say his name either, you know, new novel, and I'd say something, and he would look at me as if, never heard of it. No idea what this book
is
about.
Didn't do it, my publicist wrote it.
You know, in the end, I had to actually completely abandon the interview and say, when did you last go to sleep then? And that was all right then.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
4 days ago. Tim, been on a massive bender for 4 days.
Tim always says to me if I'm really stuck, say, what have you got in your pockets?
Yeah, absolutely. What did you want to be when you were six?
I can tell you, somebody who passed this year that nobody will remember his name, but you will remember his voice, is Henry Corden, who yabba-dabba-dooed for Fred Flintstone.
Oh, fantastic. Oh,
there's
And did you...
Yes, let's have a member of the family introduce the travel. Let's see, who would like to play? Chris, you can do it.
Fear.
Chris can do it.
Enthusiastic family.
This is Tim's father, who is a wandsman. Is that the correct term?
It is.
Who's a wandsman at St Paul's Cathedral, and when I had to play the cathedral the other day, he was extremely lovely to me. So what I need you to say... Well, first of all, I can tell you that we're going to come back with Mary, Mungo and Midge, because we finally found the music, and we're going to be telling you what's the worst thing you could buy to decorate your home for Christmas. But first... We're going to go to...
The Travel at 45 with Richard Hakier.
Beautifully done. M25 going clockwise, very heavy in patches on the Essex stretch from junction 27 round to 30. That's the M11 to the A13. That's following an accident from earlier. Coming into the city, we've got delays on Towbridge Road. If you're going northbound, that's due to roadworks at Abbey Street, causing delays back to the Bricklayers Arms. And in Wimbledon, we've got temporary lights for roadworks for a second day now on Wimbledon Parkside. Both ways at Inner Park Road, it's causing 15-minute delays if you're going southbound along Tibbetts Ride. In Acton, we've got delays both ways on the A40 Western Avenue at Gypsy Corner as the lights are out there. If you're heading out of town, you're going to be slow from Old Oak Common Lane as a result. That's Savoy Circus. Plus, we've got delays eastbound on Acton High Street with a gas leak between Marketplace and Winchester Street. Onto the tubes now. Bakerloo line suspended between Wilston Junction and Harrow and Wilston. That's due to an incident at Kenton. And that's also affecting Silverlink Metro trains. They've got delays between Watford Junction and Euston. And due to problems with the train radios, the Circle line has severe delays anti-clockwise. And we've also got delays on the Hammersmith and City line. Your next update in half an hour. LBC 97.3 Travel with Confused.com. When it comes to car insurance, we'll do the legwork for you.
Imagine life without Nick Ferrari. Dull, isn't it?
Billions of dollars.
I'll tell you a word that's horrible.
Yeah.
Bottom. Now that's a horrible word. Discussing with you the issues of the day
in an upbeat manner.
What is going on? Nick Ferrari at breakfast. You can't live without him. Weekday mornings from 7. London's LBC 97.3.
Christmas drinks are on me. Are on me.
Do you have a 30-foot, a 30-foot Christmas tree? It's for my hallway.
How much to import snow?
Book that Gordon Ramsay to do the mince pies.
Get practicing. Play the £15 million Lotto Super Draw this Christmas Eve, and you could wake up a Christmas millionaire. Think lucky. Players must be 16 or over. Games, rules and procedures apply.
Sandy Toxby.
Today, Sandy's joined by Stella and Kate.
A town is full of buildings. Some tall, some short, some wide, and some narrow. The buildings are flats and houses, and factories and shops. They're built in streets. The streets have cars and buses and lorries driving along them. A river runs through the middle of the town. The river has large boats and small boats on it. There's a bridge across the river so that the cars and buses and lorries can get to the buildings on the other side. The cars and buses and the streets are full of people. In fact, there are a lot of people in a town. Do you live in a town? Mary, Mungo, and Midge live in this town.
That was sent in from Carol Naylor. We were looking desperately for the Mary, Mungo and Midge music, and that was, if I'm not mistaken, the voice of Richard Baker. And whenever Richard Baker did the news, you thought, oh, it's all right.
Yes, it can't be that bad. Yes, I agree.
It's Richard Baker, can't be that bad. The lovely Oscar's turned up, who is our youngest listener. Hello, Oscar. Oscar's a year, and he's just been given his Christmas present. I think he likes it. Very difficult joke. Loves it. We've decided he loves it. Okay, we're going to go with loves it.
He's transfixed, though, by you.
He's been given a pedal car shaped like a 1930s racing car.
British Racing Green.
British Racing Green. And I can't remember who he got it from.
And Lucy's mum said buns, and I'm happy about that.
And Lucy's mum has made shoe buns. And Lisa in Bedfont, DDS, would Thomasing be the act of sniffing a train driver's seat? But you see what she's done there? Thomas the Tank, you see what she's done there?
It's very
We're looking for your opinions as to what the traditional act of Thomasing is, OK? It's St Thomas's Day, and apparently everybody went all about the town Thomasing. So let us know what that is, and whoever sends the best suggestion will win a prize. You can call us on 0870 90 90 973. Is anybody on the gate? Have we got a gate person? Is it you? Tim will have to do it. Wish him Merry Christmas. He hates answering the phone. Or you can email me, Sandy with an I, at lbc.co.uk. And the studio has got even more crowded because our very own arts correspondent, the lovely Lucy Goward, has joined us. How are you?
I'm very well. I know. She's cool, isn't she?
Do you want one? You ought to have one.
You're going to chat, aren't you? So I could eat one.
Yeah,
now.
You can have one. Right.
Yeah. How lovely.
Green and black sort of butt up, can I just say?
They squidge.
Has everybody had?
When you fight.
I love the idea of bringing the family into work. I think it's deeply splendid. Now, what have you got for us today, lovely Lucy?
We were chatting in the office about hideous Christmas decorations, because some people do go crazy. And there is a house quite near me who've decked their entire front lawn, roof, chimney pots, blackbirds, etc., with lights and various multicoloured things, all in the name of charity. But we were wondering if it got a bit far, so I had a quick look.
How can you deck your house in the name of charity?
Well, there's one near me, and what they do is they put a sort of collection pot outside.
Oh, I see.
People come for miles around to have a look, and then they put money in the
charity box.
In the charity box. But what often happens is that neighbours become marginally uncharitable because of the flow of traffic.
Yes.
It can be fisticuffs.
Or perhaps the use of excess electricity, and maybe the charity should be
global warming.
Some global warming charity.
But hey, bar humbug.
But, I mean, there's fabulous things, and one of them is the greeter. It's a 5-foot-tall Santa Claus.
Right.
And he does the time warp when you press the button inside, because you have to wire him inside. He can sing up to 10 of your favourite songs, which you pre-program. But there's also a microphone which goes inside the house. And when you speak through the microphone, his lips will move.
I'm wanting
into
this.
What you said. So if you don't want to see somebody,
it's because he's 5 foot
or anything,
taller than you.
It's a karaoke Kris Kringle.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Seriously.
How thrilling is that?
It's like the one those trees that move their mouths in time to songs.
That's just creepy.
Do you know, I did see a moose's head that you can buy, you know, to put on the wall.
It says you know my nickname is Moose.
Well,
obviously, because of my huge physical stature and my antlers, obviously.
The thing, Kate, is that you should never provide me with that kind of information.
Really?
I felt it was. This is my loving Christmas present to you.
Okay.
Something that you
thoughtful
really.
Did you know that for years.
I know.
I shall be keeping that quiet.
Right. Yes,
yeah. Exactly. The next time I introduce you at the Edinburgh Festival,
and
as a significant
she is,
author.
Fresh from the
she is. She is not an elk. She is not a.
She's Kate, not a reindeer.
It's Kate Moose.
Yes.
Very good.
Oh, very good. I like
yes,
that.
Yes, exactly.
So that's, the karaoke Kris Kringle, I think that's up there with
my absolute
favourite.
What about the Swinging Gingerbread Man, which made me laugh? I couldn't research it anymore, just the fact that it's called the Swinging Gingerbread Man.
Yeah. What do we think?
Well, it's very, it sounds like the...
either way, one hopes.
Suburbs are alive and well.
Yes.
What's white and swings through the trees? Oh, come on, people.
A polar bear.
Meringue-dang. Why? It's like I had a cracker in front of me. Or...
if you'd like something slightly organic...
Yes.
Oh, yes.
The homegrown Santa on a loo.
A big pleasure.
Oh, that... No, that's
Santa
just
on a
good.
Loo? What,
yeah. What? You basically...
Fertilise it,
you buy the china bowl.
Yes.
And you can put it wherever, and you pour some sort of liquid on it, and it grows into a Santa on the loo.
On a loo. Well, that's like those scary Japanese things, and there's nothing organic about them. They are made, they sell them in
and that's all suddenly
made of
wilt.
Awful chemicals. What, so dreadful, dangerous.
Just don't even end the sentence. Just why would be enough there. Yeah. Just the word why. What is it like a cress? Is it like, you know, you
it's
can
like, those, like sea it's, monkeys, but not. Isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's almost, it's, it looks like foam, but it's more sort of robust than
and
foam.
And the loo part of it. We're just
cause they need a base.
No,
I think
this is very bad indeed. Actually.
Bad and wrong.
Bad and wrong. Inappropriate.
But, yes.
And upsetting.
The moose has spoken.
Do you not think it would be beauty, if you were that rich and didn't really care about anything else,
yes.
to have two homes, one beautifully, tastefully decorated like my home, lovely white candles and silver decorations yes. and so on, and then one which is just horrible, which is just kitsch, with a pink Christmas tree. Oh, the colour this year for baubles is black, apparently.
Well, yes.
Yeah. No, that doesn't work. It's not. No. They don't reflect.
Oh, no, I think black, white and silver. No, you see, we have this every year in our house, and I sort of say, even though I'm not particularly house proud or decoratey type person normally, I do that whole sort of, oh, no, the Christmas tree must just be silver and white, and then I think... What are you doing? It's a Christmas tree. If they want children want red baubles, let them have red baubles.
Yeah, but not black. That'd be wrong. You'd have to hit them.
Oh, no, I quite like black.
She's like a moose trudging through their sitting room.
I'm going to do hoof noises soon.
We had a request from David Beavis. What a marvellous name.
Yes.
I was listening to your show on Monday and you had a chap on doing Elvis Presley's Scottish style. We did, and we shall try and find him for you in just a moment.
Well, go on then, you first.
No, you first.
I've got it. How about all at once? Ready?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. One, two, three.
Go, go!
Go.
Oh, wow! Mobile phone!
Mobile phone, get in!
Yeah, I've got one as well.
Yeah, me.
Put a Vodafone Pay As You Talk phone under the tree this Christmas. From just £30, it pays to buy at your local Vodafone store.
What did you get, Grandad?
Socks.
Subject to availability. Offer ends 24th of December 2005.
London's LBC 97.3.
Real life.
Real London.
You're listening to Sandy Totsby. What an absurd name. On LBC 97.3. Foreign, I think.
Today, Sandy's joined by Stella and Kate.
Are you lonesome tonight? Do you miss me tonight? Are you sorry we drifted apart? Does your memory stray to that bright sunny day when I kissed you and called you sweetheart? Do the chairs on your parlour seem empty and bare? Do you gaze at your doorstep and picture me there? Does your heart feel no pain? Shall I come?
Right. No, you can only can hear it through the headphones. Sorry, a little technical problem there.
Bit of a wheel.
Yes, because you've been setting right it was, the studio, possibly.
Possibly, because I set fire to the studio. The brilliant Dean Park, who does McElvis, and he also does the whole of Andrew Lloyd Webber. Wee little webby. well worth listening to. And if you want to buy it, we will put a link up on our website. All you do is go onto the LBC website, then go down to the presenters page and find my page. And I say this like I know. You've never done it, have you?
No. The young men know, though. No. They know what they're doing.
There'll be a boy out there who knows
somewhere.
How to thing. Thomasing, the day on which those who are melodically challenged, i.e., they sing like tomcats, traditionally go out carol singing en masse.
That makes sense. That's good.
From Susan, we like that one. I think that's a very,
very
good
nice.
One. You went to the ballet last night, Miss Card.
I did, and so did my good mummy.
Yeah?
And
my mum actually went as well.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, did you enjoy it?
I did. It was completely different to anything we've seen. I don't think either of us really knew this. Well, I didn't really know the story. I didn't realise how Christmassy and festive
what
it was.
What were
it was
you seeing?
The Nutcracker at the Coliseum. The first night of the English National Ballet's season. And it was lovely.
I like the Nutcracker. Really,
I do.
I really like it.
I like the soldiers when they march in.
Yes. I like it when the tree gets bigger and Clara becomes a grown-up ballerina. I like those bits. You don't like it? You don't do ballet, though, do you? You can't stand it.
It's a lot of people with bleeding toes.
Yes, but you go to opera, and to me, they're sort of very, very similar, except that I can't stand the music.
We're loving the opera. The opera's lovely.
Well, that's actually one thing that the pair of us said, because they were... I think it's the home of the English National Opera, the Coliseum, and Mum and I both said, well, we've come here to see ballet, now we really ought to come here and see opera, because neither of us have actually seen a full-length opera.
If you're going to choose an opera... Any opera fans in? Is anybody here an opera fan?
Me, I wrote a book about the Opera House.
Oh, right. I was going to suggest... So that'll be a yes, then. Pushy or what? I would suggest to people who have never been to the opera before that they go and see Carmen as their first opera.
Yeah. Do you agree, Chris? That's very Nutcracker.
Magic Flute. Or Traviata.
Carmen is brilliant.
Yeah, it's just you want to go along with it's a really clear story and you know exactly where you are.
Some
and there's
tunes.
One or two tunes from, you know, old football programmes that make you.
Aida,
yes. Oh, and anything big. Go to one of the big productions.
No, I think you're absolutely right, because I think all of this sort of minimal opera doesn't do it.
No!
The point is, it's got to be big.
Yeah. I saw Lady Macbeth of Mtsinsk a year ago. And that's supposedly minimalist, and it was awfully good and big. That was what
we like it. Yeah. Horses and everything.
Go see it with Scissorhands on Friday. I'm so excited.
Well, I'm glad for you. Now, Colin has emailed in to say, Sandy, is Thomasing the day that people go around doubting each other?
Possibly.
In just a moment, lunch and a play.
Available on DAB Digital Radio.
London's LBC 97.3.
It's 1 o'clock. Good afternoon. I'm Claire Miller. The showbiz wedding of the year has taken place in Windsor. Sir Elton John and his long-term partner David Furnish have exchanged vows at a civil partnership ceremony. They emerged from the Guildhall arm in arm to wave and blow kisses to hundreds of cheering fans before leaving in a Rolls Royce. Tony Blair's even sent the couple his best wishes.
I wish him and David very well, and to all the other people exercising their rights under the civil partnership law. I think it's a modern progressive step forward for the country, and I'm proud we did it.
They were just one of 700 couples taking advantage of new laws which came into force in England today. The move gives them new rights in things like employment, pension and inheritance. Now, LBC was at Percy Stephen and Roger Lockyer's ceremony earlier in Marylebone, and Roger's told us it was overwhelming.
I found it actually very moving. At one moment I felt quite close to tears when I was reading the poem for Percy, and I thought, no, come on, you know, I can't break down. It's something we've waited for, 40 years. And when you wait for something for 40 years and it actually comes, it's a deeply emotional moment.
In other news, a mother of three has won the right to take her fight to get a breast cancer drug on the NHS to the High Court on the Strand. Anne-Marie Rogers from Swindon was refused treatment with Herceptin, which costs £20,000. The government says primary care trusts shouldn't refuse treatment with the drug purely based on cost. The Court of Appeal has ruled the government must investigate the death of an Iraqi civilian allegedly unlawfully killed by British troops. It lost its challenge to an earlier ruling that it would have to carry out an independent and effective inquiry. Lawyer Phil Scheiner says the judgment shows the military system of investigation and prosecution in torture and abuse cases is fundamentally flawed.
The Court of Appeal have in effect brought that system to an end. They have lambasted that military system and expressed the hope that these serious deficiencies be remedied immediately.
Unions are criticising London Underground for another equipment failure, which brought delays to thousands of commuters this morning. Radio equipment failed, causing big problems on the Circle and Hammersmith and City lines. The Football Association insists there's no panic over the progress of the new Wembley Stadium. It all comes despite contractors Multiplex admitting for the first time it may not be ready in time for next year's FA Cup final. Lord Coe, chairman of London 2012, has told us, though, he's not concerned about the implications for the Olympics.
I don't think it is a big problem for us. I think people recognise that Wembley got into difficulties some
years ago simply over funding patterns and the inability of a number of organisations, including sport and government and British Olympic Association, to get their act together.
And it's confirmed singer Mucha has quit Sugar Babes to spend more time with her daughter, Talia. Confirmation follows several rumours about the group. She had pulled out of recent engagement. Mucha's been in the girl band for the last 7 years. Keisha and Heidi will carry on with a new member. London's weather staying cloudy but dry this afternoon. A bit of light rain or drizzle around this evening, though. Top temperatures of 9 Celsius, which is what we've got right now at Marble Arch. Tonight, quite mild, staying cloudy, and more of that light rain, lows of 7. And tomorrow, more of the same, cloudy but dry. That's LBC weather with Well Woman Advanced Nutrition Capsules from Vitabiotics, available from chemists and health stores, or visit wellwoman.com. It's 3 minutes past one.
London's LBC 97.3.
Real life.
Little London.
London shops on Christmas Eve
are strung with silver bells and flowers
as hurrying clerks the city leave
to pigeon-haunted classic towers
and marbled clouds go scudding by
the many steepled London sky
and girls in slacks remember Dad
and oafish louts remember Mum
and sleepless children's hearts are glad
and Christmas morning bells say come
even to the shining ones who dwell
safe in the Dorchester Hotel.
Happy Christmas from London's LBC 97.3. Real life, real London. Sandy Toxvey.
Today, Sandy's joined by Stella and Kate.
Tales from the Underground. Snack to the future. During the Second World War, the mice of Midgley Station had been evacuated when their platform was destroyed in an air raid. After the war was over, the new modernized station finally opened. But for the mice, everything was not as shiny as it seemed on the surface. Angel was looking after the little seven sisters, and Colindale was searching for cracks in which to find food.
If I don't get a bite to eat soon, I'm going to have to chew one of my own legs off. This station is far too clean. There's not a crumb inside.
Oh, do stop, Colindale. You know the Bigfoot was still on rations. The only thing we found today is a dried prune. I've given that to the seven sisters.
It is disgusting. We like it. It's disgusting.
Oh, come on now. It won't hurt you lot to have a bit of fibre.
Oh, here he comes. Russell Square, the mad professor.
I've done it. My latest invention.
What have you made now, Russell? You genius.
A time machine.
What? Like a clock?
Not quite. Rationing can't go on forever. My theory is that sometime in the future, humans will have so much food to go round, they'll be dropping crumbs everywhere. So I've invented a contraption that facilitates free movement in time.
Couldn't you just have made something that facilitates free movement to a cheese factory?
I never thought of that.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. Come on in, Flash. Let's go and have a look-see. How come everything you build is made out of matchboxes? It looks exactly the same as that fur washer you made last week.
This was the fur washer. I've just made some alterations.
Oh, yeah, you left the shampoo in here.
You're just jealous because your only creative acts are pellet-shaped.
Specky twit. You'd better hope there's hospitals in the future.
We'll see. Right, everyone in. 50 years should do it. All I have to do is pull this...
paperclip.
...trans-dimensional joystick and...
Gosh, Russell! Something really is happening!
Whoa! Here! The seven sisters look a bit green around the gills.
There's nothing to worry about. During my tests, I haven't had any problems with motion sickness.
I think it's more to do with motions from those prunes they was eating earlier.
Girl, really? You could have waited 2 more minutes.
Well, here we are. The future!
Yeah. Well, how'd you go then?
I thought you were the brave one.
Oh, you two. I'll go. I hate to say anything, Russell, but it doesn't look like we've gone anywhere.
Not anywhere, but any when. Look, doesn't the station seem older?
Yes, I suppose it does. Can you read any of the posters, Russell? They might give us an idea of what year it is.
Good idea. Oh, dear.
What do they say?
Well, for at least 50 years, there's been a public exhibition celebrating the cruel torture of our kind.
What sort of torture?
It says, now in its 52nd year, audiences are still flocking to see the Mousetrap.
We've got to get out of here. They're barbarians. Fancy killing us for entertainment.
Well, we're going to starve to death if we don't eat soon. Let's find some food and get back home.
Russell, Colindale, look at that staircase. It's moving!
We must have gone miles into the future. If I hadn't seen it with my own eyes... Oi! Where are the Seven Sisters going?
Angel, they could get hurt on that thing.
Oh, yes. That thing could be the mousetrap on that poster. A machine that makes mice into pies or something.
Where there's pies, there's pastry. Come on, you two. Let's go and see if there's anything to eat.
Ooh, an automatic staircase. How perfectly civilised.
Let's hope there's one going down as well. It's not safe for us overground.
Oh, it's very bright out here. Well, let's go back.
Well, the station's closed. And I didn't see a moving staircase going down. Oh, look, there's a guard. He's writing something.
Service suspended due to security alert. Oh, goodness. Those big folk are still fighting. We haven't moved forward hardly at all.
Who cares? I can smell food. Now, where's it coming from?
We're near a river. Look, there might be food on that boat over there. There's seagulls circling around.
I ain't eating no fish.
Maybe you should, Colindale. Healthy food is good for the brain.
Okay, then. I shall give you a knuckle sandwich on brown.
Smells like cheese to me. Come on.
Be careful. Oh, why doesn't anyone pay attention to me?
Oh, I've never seen such a big pile of cheese.
Pooh. No wonder we smelt it from so far away.
Oh, it's a bit woofy. Angel, have a bang on that.
Oh, you must be joking, Colindale. It's furrier than you are.
Oh, stop being such a madam. Would you prefer a slice of Roquefort or perhaps some Wensleydale?
I just want to be safe and sound in Midgley Station. Something's not right. Do you hear footsteps?
Ah, we're perfectly safe here.
Gotcha! My homemade mousetrap never fails.
I knew we were in danger. We're just like my cousin Nibbles locked up in a cage.
It appears to be more like a wire basket to fry chips in.
I've got plans for you, Vermin, and later on, I'll spit roast you.
Oh dear, what does spit roast mean?
Well, if we're lucky, she means she'll cook and eat us.
Barbarians, I told you.
Squeak, squeak, you're very sweet, aren't you? Crunchy too, I hope. Now keep quiet while I open this thing up.
Oh, Colindale, we should have followed our instincts. This must be that mousetrap. It's long, flat, and listen to how strong that spring is.
A mousetrap with a mattress? You're having a laugh. It's a fold-out bed. What's she up to?
Here you go, my little pretties. You sit up here. When the captain comes in, squeak your little hearts out. He'll never sleep in here again, and I'll get my own cabin.
How dare she? Using us to do her dirty work.
That's right, squeaky, squeaky. And don't be afraid to show your teeth.
Do as she says, Colindale. Bite one of her fingers.
Crikey, she's only got one on this hand. Here goes.
Ow! You rotten, plague-ridden flea bag!
Come on, everyone, run for it.
Come back here. Oi, I can't run in these things, flipping club feet.
Keep going. It looks like we're faster than her.
I'll get you, rodents. I was going to cook you for tea. Not for me, but the crew would have enjoyed them. Oh, well. Better get those donkey noses out of the freezer.
Phew, back on land again. I was getting a bit seasick. Is everyone okay?
Yes, we were lucky. We didn't find any food, but I'm glad we didn't see that mousetrap thing.
Yep, they'll have to keep it going another 50 years to catch the likes of us.
And they probably will. They probably will.
And so the mice scampered away as quick as they could. And in a very short time, they were back in the Midgley station they knew and loved. Whilst they'd been away, a group of schoolchildren had passed through and dropped crumbs from their crisps and sandwiches. So the mice settled down to a well-earned feast. You've been listening to Juliet Howland as Angel, Nick Cavalieri as Colin Dale, Gary Carpenter as Russell Square, and Sandy Toksvig as Vi. Studio manager was Steve Campon. Trails from the Underground was written by Gary Carpenter and produced from an original idea by Tim Allen. Tales from the Underground is a G&T production for LBC Radio 97.3.
One of the live dramas, obviously it wasn't live this time, it was archive, from the last 3 years. We had been very proud to have been, in fact, the only talk radio station that did also do live drama, because to me it counts as talk. Today I'm joined by the lovely Stella Duffy and the beautiful Kate Moss, and we are trying to find out what happens on St. Thomas's Day. It is St. Thomas's Day today, and according to tradition in England, everybody went to Thomasing. Now, we're slightly concerned by
Daily
this.
Daily sing cuckoo, I think.
Yeah. And we want your thoughts as to what Thomasing might consist of. I could have looked it up, but, you know, frankly, I think that's me doing all the hard work. And that can't be right.
No, bad and wrong. Bad and wrong.
During last week, I think it was, I went and did a short turn at St. Paul's Cathedral, which I enjoyed hugely, partly because Tim's dad, Chris, who's here with us today, what are you doing? So you're a wandsman. That's so sweet. It sounds so like
what does a wandsman do?
You shall go to the ball.
Yes.
It's very sweet. Anyway, I went at the request of the Reverend Laura Burgess, and I said, well, listen, if I'm going to come and play your gaff, you must come and play my gaff.
You can't play mine, girl.
And so Laura is here with us today. What do we know? What do we know about St. Thomas? I mean, I'm not trying to put you on the spot here, but all I can think about St. Thomas is that he was the doubter. He was the one who doubted.
He was the one who doubted, who said that he wouldn't believe unless he put his hands in the holes in Jesus' side, which is a bit grim, really, if you think about it.
To me, a little bit medical,
yes,
really.
A little bit medical. But I think I quite liked St. Thomas because he to me, represents quite a lot of us who aren't really sure all the time about things. And he wants to have some kind of sign to say that, yeah, this is Jesus after the resurrection. So that's when we hear mostly about St. Thomas.
See, in that sense, he does appeal to me because I am of a liberal, wishy-washy persuasion. And one of the reasons why I could never send anybody to war is I could never be completely confident I was right.
Right.
I could never go, yes, I'm right, and so now people are going to die, because I've always got that edge in the back of my mind that goes, what if I've made a horrible mistake? So that's it. So Thomas would be a good...
You need a finger in the stigmata, really, to
well, no, no, don't want to go that far, but... That would be a good one for me. Do you know what Thomasing was in the past?
I have no idea. I would have looked it up if I'd have known. But
no,
I don't have
idea. That was spoiled game.
If you knew.
I think it was probably something to do with going door to door.
Well, because they have in many of the European countries, they have St. Nicholas.
Yeah.
And that they do sometimes say Nicholasling. And they go off on, I think, on the 5th. Of
sixth.
December.
Sixth. It's the 6th.
Sixth. Sixth. And because I have been sent lots of things by European publishers,
yes,
recently, biscuits.
My Dutch friends, our Dutch friends do that, yeah.
Well, we shall find out more about the preparations that are occurring at St. Paul's as we speak to Laura Burgess in just a moment. But first, we go to the travel with Richard Hake here.
Let's go to the West End, first of all. New Oxford Street is blocked towards Tottenham Court Road with an accident. Plus, we've got a broken down bus on the A4 Piccadilly approaching Piccadilly Circus. That's blocking the inside lane. Now, add that to the pre-Christmas traffic in the area. Simon the cabbie says it's absolutely solid, much heavier than he's ever seen before. St. Martin's Lane is solid towards Leicester Square, and Shaftesbury Avenue suffering in a big way as well. Keep those updates coming in to me on the Jam Line 08000 68 60 80. Thanks for all your calls up in Acton. We've got delays both ways on the A40 Western Avenue at Chipsy Corner as the lights are out there. If you're heading out of town, you're going to be slow from Savoy Circus, and it's having a big knock-on effect with the North Circular as well, which is absolutely solid on both approaches to the hangar lane gyratory. And Paul, thanks a lot for your call down in the south of town in Godstone. The A22 Godstone Hill reportedly closed going out of town just before the M25. I need your updates on that one as well. 08000 68 60 80. For the Tube, Circle Line severe delays anti-clockwise. Plus we've got Bakerloo and Hammersmith and City Line delays. Your next update in half an hour. LBC 97.3 travel with Confused.com. When it comes to car insurance, we'll do the legwork for you.
We didn't have a telly in our day.
Yeah, well, times have changed.
I can remember 30 of us around the Joneses watching the Queen on this new thing called television.
Dad, I'm trying to watch this.
Of course, nowadays, I watch Sky Mobile TV on my 3G phone from Vodafone.
Mum,
Tell him!
Free Sky Mobile TV exclusive to Vodafone. It pays to buy at your local Vodafone store.
What did you just say?
Sky Mobile TV. Oh, yeah. Your old dad doesn't miss a thing.
Free until the 31st of January 2006. Subject to fair usage, 3G coverage, handset capability and minimum term. UK only. Conditions apply.
Sandy Topsley.
Today, Sandy's joined by Stella and Kate. And now, for your listening pleasure, we proudly present Myrtle Hilo, the singing Hawaiian cab driver.
Basically, if I translate literally from Hawaiian, she's singing, "Sorry, I made a mistake. That road was no right turn." Just guessing what it was. Can I just say that one of two of you listeners, guilty of faulty listening. Now, we're looking for what you do when you go Thomasing, okay, on St. Thomas's Day. And Keith called in to say it stems from the ancient practice of giving two rodents to your neighbours, or two mousing. I despair.
That's when you get two Kate Mosses in. It's two missing.
Dear delicious, delectable Danish Sandy with the singular eye.
Aww.
John in Hainault. A definition for toe mossing. The art of spreading moss over your toes. Toe mossing.
Ah, right.
Live long and prosper, he says. Stick to the day job, John. I don't know. It worries me.
Good work.
The lovely Reverend Laura Burgess is here, and she is a priest at St. Paul's Cathedral. And what I was really impressed about when I came is that the atmosphere there, everybody's having a good time. We laughed a lot, didn't we?
I mean, we did laugh a lot.
It's a beautiful and ancient and distinguished building, but there was absolutely no sense that we were being...
This is your nativity you were laughing.
Yeah, well, no, just amongst ourselves, within, you know, when we were chatting and when we were rehearsing.
Yeah.
There's no sense, this was just my take on it, there was no sense of stuffiness or anybody being kind of up their, you know, noses about what's going on. It just seemed a very friendly and joyous place.
Well, I'm really glad that it was. For me, I think the important thing is that everybody's welcome in the cathedral, and we were holding a Christmas celebration, so we wanted it to be up and happy and joyful, and I'd particularly chosen some funny readings so that we could have some fun in the service, so it was great.
Now, you have one of the most sort of interesting jobs I've come across, because in a sense St. Paul's is not a traditional parish in that you don't really have a congregation to go and minister to.
We don't have a parish at all. It's not a parish church cathedral, so we don't have any people living in the area.
So it doesn't... it's not attached to its area. It's just there.
No, right. It's just there.
Right.
It's
how
floating.
Interesting. Yes.
In above
floating
the Ludgate
beauty.
Hill. Yes. So, so we have regular people who come along and who are part of our congregational role, but the majority of people who have come are going to be tourists, right, or people who want to come because it's St. Paul's Cathedral.
Sure.
So.
And it struck me that the job you have is quite theatrical, really, because you're there sorting out big events and making sure that people understand how the microphones work and where their exits and entrances are. And
Stage manager for St. Paul's Cathedral.
Well, that's brilliant.
Isn't that a good job?
How brilliant.
Yeah, we do all that. There are three of us who stage manage, if you want to call it that. Lots of big services, but we will have probably put them together in the first place and liaised with lots of different people. There are so many people working at St. Paul's. It's a very complicated, as you might imagine, institution to work in. So there are all sorts of people who do all sorts of things that mean that on the night it all works.
And what I loved is we had, how many people would you say? I mean, it was a full house. How many
people?
It was
about 2,400.
Right.
And fantastic.
They all clapped at the end, and I just thought
that's good.
It's a good sound in a church, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a good noise.
Mm, yeah.
To hear that.
Because one of the things about the one that you came to is it's kind of a cross between a service and a concert. So it's much more popular than as populist than some things that you might go to. So we're going to have a traditional carol service where we won't have applause at the end. But, you know, that's great. We have things for all sorts of different people.
Now, Christmas is obviously your major celebration, would you say? Or is it, or which one, Easter?
Christmas and Easter. Easter, you have a longer run-up and you've got more things to do. And I wouldn't be able to come out so close to Easter Day.
Yeah, you've got 40 days as opposed to,
you know,
4 weeks.
I would be in the middle of Holy Week and you'd be having lots of services, whereas Christmas you have carol services in the lead up to it, but we're still in Advent, so we have this kind of gear change where you're celebrating Christmas at some services and then in Advent for other ones, which is a bit of a churchy difference between those.
So I love
two.
That it's a different approach, isn't it? I mean, it's like we were talking the other day, it was yesterday was the anniversary of Peter the Great, the Russian Tsar, changing the 1st of September to the 1st of January as the beginning of the new year, and I still think of the 1st of September or the beginning of September as the beginning of the new year because of academics, and then my children now, of course, go to school.
And it's when Jewish New Year is as well.
Yeah, so it just seems to me that sort of feels like the right thing. Now, you don't come from a long line of people who went into the church.
No, in fact, I don't come from a long line of churchgoers. None of my family really go at all. They come, if they're down to visit me, they'll usually come along.
Wow, so did you get sacked with a vocation then?
Well, I don't know whether you'd quite call it that, but, you know, I think one of the things, all my parents and my relatives are all teachers, and I rebelled.
Right.
And I'm the black sheep, and I went into the church.
Boy, they must have been shocked.
I have to say, they were just glad that I had a job, because I think they were hoping that they were thinking I might just meander through life. So, so I kind of went to church from an early age, because I grew up in a village where there was not much else going on apart from Sunday school and things. Mm. So I went to that and never really left.
So, do they come? I mean, because you're working presumably Christmas Day. So
I'm working Christmas Day, yeah.
So, do you get to spend time with your family? Or?
I'm going out to see them on Boxing Day.
Right.
I always have to be working. I'll never have a Christmas off. I'll always be working. So, I'm working till 4:30 on Christmas Day. So, this year, they usually come down and see me, but this year I've said, look, it's ridiculous. Mum always brings the saucepans and the turkey and everything else. You know, I don't have to do anything at all. But we decided that last year was a bit, when they forgot the vegetables and we didn't have anything to eat on Christmas Day.
That's less
but this was time for me
not
to have
that many
to do
shops
that anymore.
Not that many shops open at Ludgate Hill at that time of year.
Absolutely
no. I would imagine, Laura, that isn't a hardship then, working at Christmas. I would imagine it's a rather joyous thing to be in.
That's great. It's our major festival. It's something that I look forward to because of church things, I suppose, and because of your faith saying, we're celebrating the birth of Jesus, and so for me, actually, I can see my family a lot of the time, I can see seeing them on Boxing Day for me is just as good as seeing them on Christmas.
Do you have
Day.
A midnight mass at St Paul's?
Have midnight mass.
I love midnight mass. Oh, one of my most favourite things. I used to love it as a kid because you got to stay up late.
Yes,
it was really good fun, and then we went home and had sherry and mince pies. I loved it. I mean, just the whole everything about it, all the joining just in.
The early days of an alcoholic career. John has sent in an email. I think Thomasing is the unfortunate act of preparing the sprouts for Christmas Day too early and causing them to shrivel up. The sprouts have been Thomased. On Christmas Day, one would say to the chef, have you been Thomasing this year? I like that.
That's good.
I quite like that as a thought. Yeah, that may well be the way forward. So presumably, when you got the St Paul's gig, that must have been a moment of frisson. That must have been a moment the first day you arrive at St Paul's Cathedral. I mean, whether one is religious or not, there is something breathtaking about just walking into that
building. Most splendid building.
I remember walking in when I was on interview, and it was the first time I'd been in the building for 10 years because I wasn't living in London when I got the job, and I couldn't believe it because I couldn't believe that I was going to possibly even have a job at there. So it was absolutely extraordinary, and going from a curate in a parish to somehow even thinking that I might work there was an extraordinary feeling. And I remember when I was told I got the job, just shaking, thinking, I can't believe it. What am I going to do? I didn't really know what the job entailed at that point. And thinking, goodness me,
it's a good-looking office, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not bad. Especially now it's all been cleaned and restored, so it's looking absolutely
looking
amazing
fantastic.
At the moment.
Yeah. Really, but actually, fantastic. There's that spirit of place in many churches. It's that wonderful Philip Larkin poem called Church Going. Mm. The idea of, you know, that he doesn't want to go in and he doesn't have a faith, but he does always stop and go in. And I think that if you're brought up in that tradition, whatever you believe or feel, As an adult, there is a sort of spirit of place that works in churches. And in a way, the bigger they are, the more it kicks in, I think.
Well, and it is surprising for such a place with so many people that you can feel calm.
Yeah.
Do you not think that there can be a sense of that you're okay and you sit there just quietly by yourself?
Now, tell me something that I wasn't really paying attention, is the absolute truth of it, on the night. And we suddenly disappeared down a back alley and down some stairs. And there's a sort of secret passage, isn't there? We went under the piazza, did we go, to get to the cathedral?
The Undercroft is basically under the North Churchyard of St Paul's, is where all the works department is, where our masons are and carpenters and all sorts of...
backstage, as we like to call it.
Backstage and,
under tomb.
Yeah. And so it's a way of getting from the chapter house, which is where all the offices are, through and onto the cathedral floor. So you go in through the crypt.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people don't realise the crypt's down
great,
there.
Anyway.
With all the monuments, and we had all the Nelson celebrations.
Suddenly walked past Nelson's tomb and I went, oh,
Well, which I've spent a lot of time in this year, because we've obviously, with the 200th anniversary of the Battle of Trafalgar, we've had all sorts of things going on. So, and he'd been titivated. He's had new lighting on his chamber.
Bit of a buff.
He has, and repainted
giving
things,
him an
all
arm.
Sorts of things.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
don't go too mad.
There are some things we can't quite manage. No miracles.
Do you, Laura, only when you're working, or do you all the time? I mean, you're wearing your dog collar now.
Oh,
and
I
you
am.
Do you wear it all the time? Is that
a serious question?
It is. I don't know.
Absolutely not. I tend to wear it when I do always wear it when I'm working.
Right. When you're off, you wear mufti.
When I'm off, I'm in my jeans, usually, whatever.
Do you get the second look when you're on the bus or the gym or whatever, and somebody sees a woman wearing it, because it is a very traditional dog collar? Do you still get people who go, oh, look, there's a woman with a dog collar?
And you get a lot of people who never seen a woman in a dog collar before, and particularly Italians, especially around St Paul's, because people always want to come, and they want to know whether it's a Roman Catholic cathedral or an Anglican, trying to explain the difference between the two.
Used to be.
Yes, well, absolutely, although not the current one, because it was built after the Reformation, if we're going to be technical. But
I like to go down to Canterbury and go, Al's, you know, actually,
Al's. Yes, lovely.
So we're going to see you as Archbishop one day? I do hope so.
I think that's extremely unlikely.
Bishop, then. Bishop.
I also think that's unlikely.
Or you're being very political. We'll be on your side for that.
Well, that's lovely, but I suspect I'm a bit loud-mouthed for all of that, so...
That's the best kind of bishop.
Anyway, I'm very early in my...
Sure, it's way to bring people back, I would have thought. Some plain talking.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, do, if you get a chance this Christmas, I think particularly if you're in London and you are on your own, could I recommend to you that you take the time to go into St Paul's, because it is a lovely sense of community that you will get in there, and know that you will get a wonderful welcome, and it's a beautiful place. It was lovely to see you. Thank you very much for doing my gig. And now I'll be owing you for next year, and I don't know, it's all done. more stuff about Thomasing in just a moment.
Okay, velvety smooth voiceover guy.
For the perfect blended Baileys, half fill your blender with ice cubes. Add enough Baileys to cover them. Then blend until smooth and share with friends.
That's perfect. Now, can you try this?
Change here for the Piccadilly line.
Maybe not.
Baileys and ice. Serve chilled.
Buy a 1 litre bottle, now only £9.99 at Sainsbury's, while stocks last.
Sandy Toxley.
Sorry, back again. I was just having a mouthful of cottage pie. Jim in Twickenham. I don't know why, but I think Thomasing involves being overly polite to people whose acquaintance you don't particularly wish to make. People on trains, that kind of thing, I suspect. In just a moment, I'm going to introduce you to a woman from history who has disappeared, but who was inspirational.
Available on DAB Digital Radio.
London's LBC 97.3.
It's 1:30. Good afternoon. I'm Claire Miller. Sir Elton John and David Furnish's relationship has been recognised in the eyes of the law. The couple tied the knot in a civil partnership ceremony at Windsor's Guildhall earlier. They're one of 700 couples in England to take advantage of new laws which came into force today. The Court of Appeal has ruled the government must investigate the death of an Iraqi civilian allegedly unlawfully killed by British troops. It's claimed hotel worker Bahar Moussa was beaten to death while in custody in September in 2003. Friends and colleagues of murdered policewoman Sharon Bushnevsky will gather for her funeral in Bradford on January the 11th. She was shot dead during an armed raid on a travel agent in the city last month. Two men from London have been charged with her murder. If your tube journey into work was disrupted or delayed this morning, then here's why. It was all down to communication problems caused by faulty radios in drivers' cabs. At one point, parts of both the Circle and Hammersmith and City lines were suspended. And the ever-dangerous Shahid Afridi is at the crease for Pakistan. Pakistan in the final one-day international against England in Rawalpindi. Home side are on 167 for 6, needing another 40 runs to win from 39 balls and take the series. London's weather, cloudy but mild, mainly dry, highs of 9 Celsius, right now 9. It's now 1:31.
London's LBC 97.3.
Real life, real London.
Today, Sandy's joined by Stella and Kate.
Let's have an office email.
You have email.
Okay, now, this email I'm going to get to trouble for reading out, but I don't care. I read out these, because they send them out all around the office. You get this when you do your newscasting.
Yeah, right? We get round-robin emails to everybody.
Nothing to do with you.
Absolutely, yeah.
This one. Now, the last time I read out one of her emails, she got very cross. So I'm not going to name her. Okay, I'm going to try and get away with it. She's the group facilities manager. So that anybody in LBC will know who it is. She gets very, very cross with me. I read out about we were having a crockery sale. She was furious. Dear all, please can everyone that uses the minibus take care.
Yes, what have you done? Come on, please. Please. I'm going to help Sandy. Please can everyone that uses the minibus take care with getting onto it. If everyone queued up and got on with less of a bundle at the door, people are less likely to get...
That's very helpful. Health and safety. Health and safety.
That is wonderful. She's really been very concerned about that. She's gone home and she's thought about it. And she's gone, I have to sort this out, this bundle thing.
And it's so true. I just please.
Single file.
Oh, she was cross when I read about the crockery. We didn't laugh then. I'm so sorry. That, oh, dear.
That's marvellous.
Isn't that good, though?
There's probably somebody listening in hospital who fell under the wheels.
You're going to get very funny. But I know. I have insurance claims to deal with.
I'm in faster.
The word bundle.
Bundle.
That sort of made it. No.
Get on in such a bundle.
It's a vivid image.
It's like an irreverent image.
I may say that to the children as we get into our people mover. Don't be in such a bundle. Oh, it's such a good though,
that's
doesn't
great.
It?
Oh, yes.
There's nothing better than
that. So, Rona Cameron, a piece of archive there of me completely losing the plot about not getting on the minibus all of a bundle. And I have to say, the person who used to send out those emails left
LBC
shortly afterwards.
People would.
I can only apologise.
You're very lucky you get a nice email saying...
Don't feel entirely responsible.
Bye, we're going to miss you.
Which is quite good, because they used to send all the office emails onto my list.
No,
I don't get any of them now. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? I don't get any of them now. And then occasionally I used to be made to do a live read for an advert or a competition or something.
Don't
oddly,
ask that.
Oddly don't come my way.
Funny, though.
Anymore. Which is very strange. Now then, I was thinking, because we've got two wonderful writers here, Stella Duffy and Kate Moose, that...
My other nickname is worse, you see. You can imagine.
What?
Bossy Mossy.
So no, but Moose you're so lovely.
I am so lovely. Well, it doesn't yes. But anyway, Bossy Mossy is very the other one. So I think Moose is...
Much
preferable.
Nicer. Mm. Yeah. Much more generous. Mm.
Actually, I have a couple of things about the Orange Prize I need to get on, but at some point we'll...
Excellent.
I just wanted to mention there is... occasionally we come up with a woman from history. It is usually a woman, I'm afraid to say, who has rather sort of disappeared. And today I wanted to mention... Brownies have just turned up.
Splendid.
Doing rather well with
the
lunch.
Did you get brownies?
Yes, I've got some fabulous bread and cheese. And actually, my very first mince pie of the season. Oh.
I love mince pie.
So do I.
I
but
make my,
got
own,
to be
my
nice.
Own mince meat that's vegetarian suet. You're
well, where is
organic.
It? Where is it, Stella? You tantalise me and then
I know,
give
it's
me
wicked of me.
Who keeps an eye on things at a bakery?
A baker's eye?
Mince pie. Anyway, it sounded like I had a cracker in front of me. Now, it was today in 1549 that Margaret of, I'm going to say this very badly, Angoulême. Angoulême?
Angoulême, oui.
Oui, c'est vrai?
What?
Oui, oui, oui. bien.
No, no, that is not all right.
That's not okay.
Marguerite. Marguerite.
Marguerite.
Well, it says here Margaret.
Margaret.
Margaret of Angoulême.
Oui.
Excellent. Rather bleak sometimes, that part of France.
Is it? Is it a bit flat?
Our car blew up there once and we had to sleep on the forecourt and we were so cold we had to pull the carpet from the car over us.
That's not that part of France's fault that your car blew
it
up,
was
though, is it?
Not
it cannot
that, but
be
no,
fair.
But it has always clouded my view of Angoulême.
She died today in 1549. She was the queen consort of Henry II of Navarre. And she was an extraordinary writer.
Is that where the lamb comes from? Sorry, you have lamb Navarre, don't you? Yummy.
Yes.
Like a stewy
yeah,
thing.
Just don't ask Kate, she's a vegetarian.
No, I'll just say the wrong one there. With the organic suet.
Closest she gets to meat is moose. Now, Marguerite of Navarre was an outstanding figure of the French Renaissance. In fact, many people called her the first modern woman. And because of her mother, she received a terrific education. Her mother, Louise, believed that it was important to educate Marguerite, even though that wasn't the thing at the time. And so she learnt Latin, read the Bible, Sophocles, and so on, and was fantastically bright. Unfortunately, she then married somebody deeply thick.
Occupational hazard, I would say, with royalty in France.
Royalty.
Yeah, practically illiterate man for political expediency. But she outlived him, thank God.
Always best.
She had to marry him because the family wanted to keep the county of Armagnac in the family, which is fair, actually.
You would, wouldn't you? Since we're talking about mince pies.
I think that's a completely reasonable. Anyway, after the death of her first husband, she then married Henry II of Navarre, which is, in fact, now the Principality of Spain, isn't it? It's where Pamplona is.
Yes, it is. It's sort of just south of the Pyrenees, and it's part of... And if you look back to medieval France, which I know a tiny bit about, Navarre was sort of the country between the two.
Oh, really?
Point.
It was a separate country?
Politically critical, I would have thought.
Very, very critical.
Is it Basque, then?
No, not really.
They were next to them.
Yes, but there was a sort of what used to be known as the Catalan triangle, which sort of went from Perpignan round to Barcelona. It was sort of like a half moon that covered that. But Navarre, Navarre was, well, that the Languedoc was as much Spanish as French, and it was much more in common with that.
If you wore rather a sexy, skimpy top by itself,
yes,
would that make you a Basque separatist? Anyway, what? 3 years I've been thinking that one through.
Not if you can get the chance to make it.
When's that going to come up again?
I think we set you up so well there.
Do you know,
discussion
can I just,
of Catalan.
I whittled on for about 5 minutes for that.
Yeah. Can I just say that I once had an opportunity to make a remark that just died on its ass, but and the trouble is it'll never come up again.
Go on.
Which was that I was having dinner with the person who breeds horses. I have no interest
in horses
whatsoever in the equine. I usually can't tell the difference between the horse and the rider, frankly. certainly not from behind.
That is a problem with quite a lot of
Bananarama is all I have to say.
What, why?
There was that woman in Bananarama who looked like a shaved horse.
Oh, did she? We were at this restaurant and this wretched woman had been banging on about some stallion or something she'd purchased for ages. And finally the waiter appeared and said,
what do you want?
Would you like to order? And I said, ooh, fabulous idea. Let's briefly put the a la carte before the horse. Now, I thought... I thought, genius. Yeah.
Very good indeed.
Yeah, no.
She didn't laugh.
Complete silence at the table. And it's never come up again, funnily enough. The moment to say that has never rearisen.
Well, I shall say, every time it comes up, I shall say, as Sandy Toxford.
Yes. It's time now to put the a la carte before the horse. Now then, Marguerite of Angoulême, she wrote a number of books. And in particular, she wrote a book called Heptameron. And it consists of 70...
Six things?
Seven. Well, it's actually... It was meant to... Can I finish?
I like to guess.
I mean, Stella, how many years have you and I been friends? How many years?
Some time, it has to be
How many years have we been? Long time. Oh, actually, we haven't come on to the fact that we appeared on the stage together for the first time in many years the other week. Heptameron was 72 tales, but it was meant to be 100, but I think old Marguerite popped her clogs. And what it is, it's a series of stories told by a group of travellers delayed by a flood on their return from a... Is it Pyrenean, would it be, from the Pyrenees? Pyrenean spa.
And they're wonderful because they're funny. There's lots of satire in them. Satire directed, I have to say, quite often against sort of licentious and grasping monks and clerics and so on. There's stories of quick-wittedness. There's stories about vice and all things.
So it's the original portmanteau novel, then?
Well, it is just that. And she had one of these extremely famous salons where lots of great writers went, Erasmus went, and I mean that she patronised all sorts of astonishing people, and she wrote wonderful poetry. She looked after Rabelais, who's always one of my favourites. His section on the live goose in Gargantua is worth a read. This is a very odd thing. There was a section in this book. It was given to me by my history teacher when I was doing O-level history, because I said so much history is boring. She said, you need to read Gargantua by Rabelais. And there's a section in it where he bemoans that when you go away, it's very difficult to find anything to wipe your bottom with.
Right.
And he recommended a live goose as the best option.
And I thought,
legions of them in our bathroom.
Really, have I checked into a 5-star hotel without hope springing eternal in my heart?
Wouldn't some plucked goose be slightly easier?
I mean, I don't know. Anyway, she was friends of Rabelais. I don't know why I mentioned the word. But what I was going to say was, and I'm going to try and track them down, I have not read these stories, nor are they, as far as I know, kind of common parlance.
They're not common parlance, but I believe that there is an edition published in America.
Well, I must get it, because I just think how extraordinary that she did that at the time when she did it, when women were not.
Well, the listeners have got till Friday to find it and send it in.
Yes,
really,
wouldn't mind awfully. And she was also an extraordinary diplomat. She was, amazing adventure. Her brother, who was also a king, because it's best, isn't it?
Obviously.
Everybody gets a little
keep
in the family.
Yes.
Was captured in battle in Italy, and he was held prisoner in Spain by Charles V. And in a critical period of the negotiations, Queen Marguerite rode horseback 12 hours a day for many days through wintry woods in order to meet a safe conduct deadline.
But you know what?
Amazing.
I think we underestimate how often things go backwards historically in terms of who's doing what and whether women are doing this or children are allowed to do that or whatever. We see history in this idea of this sort of progress getting better and more fair and more equal and all of those things. But actually, it's not like that at all. No. It tends to be quite good. Mm. And then it goes backwards because there's a load of wars or massive plague. And then it goes forward again and then backwards and forwards again. And particularly with British history, there was a terrible changing, really, in sort of the Victorian period, where the attitudes of sort of men and women and what people were doing went back many, many years. And so actually, she was at a period of time where if you were royal or sort of landed gentry, I suppose, there was much more respect for the court than there was to be 100 years later.
So it is always about the change. You know, the whole gay weddings or partnerships or whatever you're not allowed to call it fast today. Is it? No, 500-600 years ago, we didn't have marriages in churches by priests. You did it in front of your people. So it's only recently being claimed by the church as their prerogative.
Well, I mean, in those days, if you were back far enough, you could get divorced by jumping three times over a broomstick.
Yeah.
Which I recommend, frankly.
Always
I just say, no, no, muck
you
about with lawyers.
You don't pay so much in alimony, do you?
Here's a bad thing, a little bit of trivia about Marguerite. Leonardo da Vinci died while staying with her. Can you imagine the servant bringing that news? Here, madam, about that portrait you were hoping for. Now,
still, he's left a doodle.
Yeah. I told you it was chilly in there. Not good. Not good at all. Angela in Muswell Hill says that Thomasing is the act of looking for a lost cat.
No, that's good.
See, that is good. We're going to have to pick a winner very soon.
The Nine Lives of Thomasina. Lovely, lovely, lovely film.
With the lovely Hayley Mills.
And at the end of it, Thomasina arrives in the Egyptian place and all the old cats greet her. Oh, it's gorgeous. Oh, I'd love to see that again.
Lassie's just out. You can go and see
it's
that.
Not the same. It's not the same.
It's not the same. Sorry, Madame Leonardo's dead. Anyway, let's go to...
You know Leonardo.
You know Leonardo was well when he got here. Yeah, let's go to travel with Richard Hinkier.
We've got some big problems in the West End at the moment. New Oxford Street has been closed both ways between Dyot Street and Tottenham Court Road. That's with an accident. Eastbound queues now trailing right back along Oxford Street as far as Marble Arch. And we're also just getting reports that we've got one lane blocked on Oxford Street going westbound. That's towards Marble Arch with an incident on the approach to Marble Arch itself. We've also got a broken down bus on the A4 Piccadilly approaching Piccadilly Piccadilly Circus. That's blocking the inside lane. Add all those together and it means long delays around the West End. St Martin's Lane absolutely solid, and Shaftesbury Avenue really suffering as well. Up towards the northwest of town in Acton, we've got delays both ways on the A40 Western Avenue at Gypsy Corner as the lights are out there for a second day now. Traffic heading out of town really crawling from White City. Horn Lane absolutely solid northbound on the approach, and it's having a knock-on effect with the North Circular as well, getting lots of calls to say that's solid on both approaches to the Hanger Lane gyratory. Taking a look at the trains for you, Silverlink Metro have delays of an hour between Watford Junction and Euston following an incident at Kenton. Plus on the tubes, Circle Line minor delays anti-clockwise, plus Bakerloo and Hammersmith and City lines also running with minor delays. Your next update in half an hour, LBC 97.3 Travel with Confused.com. When it comes to car insurance, we'll do the legwork for you.
Clive Bull. We don't employ him for his singing. Clive Bull starts at 8, Monday to Thursday evenings.
London's LBC 97.3.
You'll never get rid of me.
Hello, can I help?
I'm just looking, thank you.
Lovely, aren't they?
What?
Those analogue radios.
No, I was looking at the new DAB digital radios.
We're doing a deal on analogues. Buy one, get one free.
But I don't want one.
6 for 2.
I don't want yesterday's technology.
13 for 2. 100 for 2.
I am after a digital radio.
Okay, look, forget the buy one bit. Just take a few.
No.
Go on, take
them.
I want them. Take the radios now.
I want them.
I beg you, take them.
Don't accept anything less than a DAB digital radio. Around twice as many stations, all in digital quality sound. Now from under £50.
Sandy Toxley.
Today, Sandy's joined by Stella and Kate.
If you want to impress tycoons and roofs, you need boobs to fill out a sweater. You need 2, but 3 might be better. And that's 1 in the back for dancing. Do, 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 do. You gotta be stacked. Hey, you gotta be grouped, individually packed. For with boobs, you can start a romance off. Make a man stand right up and take his hat off. I know it doesn't rhyme.
That was a recommendation by one of the listeners amongst the hundreds of emails, which I'm afraid I just haven't been able to get through. A comedy singer in the sort of 50s and 60s in America called Ruth Wallace, and that was a song that Life's Better with Boobs.
Well,
and... No, not Ruth Ellis. She was hanged. Ruth Wallace, maybe some of the audience's fault, you know.
If she hadn't thought it was better with boobs, she probably wouldn't have done the killing that got her hanged in the first place.
Exactly. Now then...
is there room for me in here? My goodness.
Always. Squeeze always. On in, Angie.
The glory I'm going that is to be Angela Diana.
Sandra Bagita, can I just say, your mother has... I had to tell her she's done good work. You've turned out 1 in a million here.
Oh,
my goodness.
She's glad, frankly.
Yeah.
Too tiring, I think. The experiment's not complete yet, though.
Really? There's more to do with this? I shall be short and sweet. Christmas cracker jokes. I want your Christmas cracker. Yes, let's get into the Christmas spirit now.
I tell you my favourite?
Well, do I have a choice? Because no. You're going to do it anyway, aren't
isn't
you?
It? It's my show.
Go for it.
Yeah. There's 2 snowmen in a field.
Yes.
And the 1 snowman says to the other one,
mm-hmm.
Can you smell carrots?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh.
Okay. And dare I say Christmas dinners from hell. We got somebody who didn't have Christmas dinner last year till 10 o'clock because they put the turkey in the oven, put it on the wrong temperature.
Mm.
Funny.
I can remember the Christmas my mother didn't, the oven didn't go on
stop
the timer.
That.
And honestly, now, you know, I'm in my 40s, my sister's in, still, every year, this story.
Something goes wrong.
No, nothing has ever gone wrong except for that 1 year. But every year, my mother says, do you remember the year?
No.
I do. We do, darling. That's why
An actor friend of mine, he went and his family persuaded him to go to Butlin's for Christmas.
Excuse me, I live in Bognor, just.
And, what?
I live in Bognor, where Butlin's is.
Okay, well, he was probably
you.
There. And
your
they
place.
They were told that they would get full Christmas dinner. That was all part of it. So, Christmas morning, and no, nothing's come. So he goes and knocks on the door of the sort of chalet manager and he says, I just wondered about a Christmas dinner. He went, oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, hang on a second. And he went and got a cardboard box in which there was a frozen turkey.
Lovely.
Lovely. Well, have fun, you all. It's really warm.
It's all our lovely family.
Warm and tasty in here.
See you all later.
Bye. Okay, the lovely Angela Diana Greaves will be with you from 2 o'clock. You can give her a call. Because unlike myself, she answers the phone. 0870 9090973. Now, a quick historical note. This is a bit tragic. It was today, in 1846, that the first surgical operation under anaesthesia in Britain was performed at University College Hospital, London. Okay, this is the bit. It was done by Robert Liston, who, of course, is a famous name in anaesthesia, who amputated the leg of one of his servants. Now, there's a bit of me that thinks... Do you think that there was anything wrong with him? I was just having a laugh.
I've been serving this family for two generations, my lord. I will give my leg.
And what did they do with him afterwards? Just make him lean up against the fireplace. Put him against the mantelpiece, he'll be all right.
Come a below stairs servant.
Yeah.
Hop in here, James. Let's talk through the menu.
Now then, good news for anybody who suffers from SADS. Do you guys have SADS at all? Seasonal adjustment
debris? Only when having a bit of a tantrum.
You
I know somebody who has that.
I'm sure it's real. It must be real, yeah. Mustn't it?
For sure. Yeah. I think it's real.
There's delicate, you know, Celtic skin there. You don't want too much sunshine, so.
No, but is there not that wonderful thing when you wake up and the sky is blue as opposed to grey?